So yeah, we're looking at kind of looking at the body of Christ and the family of God this year, and eventually when we get to family camp, that's what we're going to look at. So last week, Sid looked at giving and the importance of our, you know, ready and willingness to give in the body of Christ, and that was pretty cool. So this week I wanted to look at just kind of another matter that has to do with the one body, and it's maybe something that you don't necessarily think of as a one body or a body of Christ matter, but it really is when you look at it, and it's renewing your mind. So let's start in Romans chapter 12. We looked at the first couple of verses here last week. We'll look at them again in Romans chapter 12. And in verse 1, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable or your logical service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, that every man, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So, you know, we're familiar with these verses, but the way that we are transformed, God says, is by the renewing of the mind. That's the key. That's how we keep ourselves from being conformed to this world and, you know, putting off the old man and being transformed into, you know, somebody who you know, lives for God and does his word. It all hinges on renewing our minds. You know, we're born again, and we get spirit, and that spirit is complete. You know, we're complete, we're throughly furnished, but, you know, our head doesn't change automatically. That's something that we have to do. So, you know, we have to actively renew our mind, and that's how we're transformed. You know, that aspect of it is not automatic. And then, you know, he follows up with that here that says in verse 3 that we shouldn't think more highly than we ought to think. And really, thinking more highly than we ought to think is thinking anything that's not in line with the Word. You know, if you think you're not good enough to receive the promises, you're thinking more highly than you ought to think. You might be thinking lowly of yourself, but you're saying what I think is more important than what God's Word says. So really, anything that's out of bounds of the Word is thinking more highly than we ought to think. So, you know, the practical part of Romans kind of opens up with this, and then right after this, what do we see in verse 4? For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. And then he goes into some further things about, you know, living in the body of Christ. Verse 9, it says, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. And, you know, I think we all know that dissimulation is Greek theater. They had the happy mask and the sad mask, and they put the mask on. You know, it's really just, you know, it's hypocrisy. You know, let love be without hypocrisy. And, you know, how does hypocrisy really happen? I mean, you can do one thing in one situation and then do another thing in another situation. But a lot of it is thinking one thing and acting another way. So, again, that's a matter of the mind. You know, are we thinking the word of one another in the body of Christ? Or are we thinking like, you know, this person, they never help out at fellowship, and they, you know, they're really annoying and blah, blah, blah. Oh, God bless you. You know, that's so good to see you. yeah, that's hypocrisy. But where is that occurring? That's a head thing. That's happening in your head. You know, so we're seeing where, you know, renewing the mind is really a one body thing here. Verse 16, it says, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. You know, and that's really just the King James there sounds kind of funky, condescend to men of low estate. You know, we certainly don't want to be condescending. That's not what it's saying. That would be the opposite of what God's saying here. But we want to be humble. You know, we're not better than anybody, especially in the body of Christ. You know, we're all the same. We all have the same stuff. God has given the same thing to everybody, the same spirit. So you know, especially somebody who, for some reason, if you think that you know, they're less honorable or something like that. That's who you need to focus on being loving towards and realizing that, you know, they're nothing less than you. You know, we all have the same thing. And we're just supposed to be humble is really what the heart of that verse is. So, you know, we see here that renewing the mind, that's how we, you know, that's how we live for God. That's how we conduct our lives in a way that God would have us to. The key is renewing the mind, and really renewing the mind is also the key to, you know, living the mystery the way God would want us to. Let's look at Romans chapter 8. Just back a couple chapters here. And we'll start in verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Walter Cummins in the Working Translation, verse 5, he translates it that, you know, they that are after the Spirit can think the things of the Spirit. Before you're born again, you think the things of the flesh, and you don't really have a choice. You're kind of stuck thinking the way the adversary wants you to think. You don't know any better, and you don't have Spirit, so you really don't have the ability to. But once we're born again, we have the choice to think the things of the Spirit. And that kind of gets lost in the King James here. It's the figure of speech ellipsis where it says, you know, but after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. But it's really a choice. And that's something we have to realize. And, you know, if we want to live in the body of Christ and have, you know, think the word of each other, you know, we have to choose to think the things of the Spirit. So what are the things of the Spirit? I think we all have a good idea, but let's take a look at Philippians chapter 4. We get a nice list here of suggestions. And we'll start in verse 6. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. It's funny, there's some cool things in here. You've got, I forget what it's called, but there's the figure speech where, you know, there's a list and the same thing's repeated. I know, like, when it's and, it's polysyndeton, and it puts an emphasis on everything, but God's really emphasizing that there are a lot of things to think on that are godly and that will edify us and things like that. And at the end, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. So these are the things that we can think on. And then in verse 6, we know it says, be careful for nothing. That means, you know, be anxious or, you know, don't be mentally distracted for anything. And, you know, we'll see in a little bit that, you know, that's another thing where, you know, if we need to renew our mind to the Word, because it's easy to get distracted. It's easy to get distracted by work or by, you know, problems you're having personally or, you know, family things. When we're distracted by those things, you know, you find yourself not giving like we looked at last week, or you find yourself, you know, not focusing on the Word, not focusing on what you can do for God and what you can do in the body of Christ. And that's what the adversary wants. You know, he wants to get you off on a tangent and, oh my God, how am I going to pay the bills this month? And I don't know, whatever, you know what you get distracted by. But, you know, if you really look at it, that distraction takes away from, you know, living for God. It takes away from looking how you can serve one another. And we'll see a pretty cool verse on that in a little bit, but while we were here, I wanted to point that out. So, you know, we looked a little bit here about, you know, renewing our mind, and let's look at how, you know, we should think of one another. We already just talked about it a little bit, but let's go a little further into it. Romans chapter 15. Romans 15, and we'll start in verse 5. It says, "Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another, according to Christ Jesus." And, you know, it says we should be like-minded one toward another. If it just said that, that would be pretty tough. People can't agree on anything, you know. But what it really says is like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, or really it's according to the standard of Christ Jesus. You know, what is that standard? Well, Jesus Christ died so that we could receive Holy Spirit, and once we believe that, everybody has the same Holy Spirit. You know, it's you know, God sees Christ in us. We should see Christ in one another. That's really the standard of Christ Jesus. You know, but if you lose sight of that standard, you know, you get into a mess. I mean, we have laws, you know, and laws are supposed to set standards for what's legal, what's not legal, how to handle when people break the law. And, you know, you just had that thing in Florida where the young guy was killed. And I mean, we went through the legal process of a trial and a decision was made, and no, you can't hardly find anybody that's happy with the decision. Somebody's got a problem with it, but there's a law. The law's supposed to set the standard, but it's a mess. You know, it's all over the news. But fortunately, we have a standard which is pretty cut and dry, and it's pretty clear. And God makes sure that He lays it out in a way that we understand it. So, being like-minded one toward another, we have to make sure that, you know, we're being like-minded on things concerning the Word and what God's Word says. That's our standard. It's not, oh, you know, I think, you know, you should have flowers at fellowship, and if you disagree with me, we're not like-minded. Or, you know, I think you should have coffee after fellowship and not before, you know. You guys have been around most of you longer than me. You've probably seen some of that. I've heard about it, you know. But that's not in here, you know. That's not what it says in here. What it says in here is concerning Jesus Christ. That's what we're like-minded on. And when we try to hold people to a different standard of being like-minded, we're going to run into problems. So, you know, don't forget that. That's a key there. That's not just a nice, you know, put Christ Jesus at the end of the verse because it sounds good. You know, according to Christ Jesus. It's important. It's important. And then verse 6, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also have received us to the glory of God. You know, we want to be unified in going to God. You know, we saw with Richard. I mean, he received a great answer to prayer with his job situation. But you know, Sid and Sel sent out an email, and everybody was praying. And man, that got met right when it needed to. It's great. But you know, we need to be of one mind, and when we have needs in the body of Christ, you know, we have to be right there, ready to pray for people. And if you got something holding you up, bothering you about somebody, you know, and you're distracted about it, you know, that takes away from you know, the beauty of praying with one voice to God. And then it says, verse 7, wherefore receive ye one another, as also Christ received us to the glory of God. It, you know, it really just means like accept, receive or accept. There were no prerequisites other than accepting Romans 10, 9, and 10. And Jesus Christ said, okay. And God said, okay. And that's how simple it has to be for us. You know, we shouldn't have any prerequisites in our mind. When somebody comes to fellowship and they believe, that's got to be it. You know, you speak the word to them and you help them grow. But there's no other requirements they have to meet for us to accept them into the body of Christ, because God didn't have any other requirements other than just believing. So keep it simple, you know. That's really what we have to do. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2. But, yeah, we got to be like-minded on the word. And, you know, Jay and I aren't going to be like-minded on the Phillies and the Yankees, but it doesn't matter. That's true, yeah. Okay. So moving on. Philippians chapter 2, we'll start in verse 1. And this is similar to kind of what we saw in chapter 4. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. So here, you know, we're encouraged that, again, we should think on godly things. Those are the things we should be, you know, meditating on or, you know, mulling over in our minds are godly things, you know, God's word, things like that. And then it says that we should be like-minded and, you know, again, like-minded concerning the word and having the same love, being one accord of one mind. And again, that's only possible if we do it with the word. And you know, we're not going to agree on other things, but those other things really just don't matter. And then it says, you know, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. And, you know, strife, I remember at one point I was in a teaching and I put a note in my Bible here that strife is, the word translated strife is something like competing in an election, like where you know, promote yourselves above others and you try to prove that you're better than everybody else. That's not one body thinking. That's quite the opposite. So, you know, definitely not through strife or vainglory. It's empty glorying, you know, just glorying in things that don't matter or your own achievements or whatever. You know, we see where Paul says that he counts that all as dung. You know, it really doesn't matter what his personal achievements were before. So we can have the same attitude there. And then look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. So, you know, it builds here, you know, be like-minded, you know, we renew our minds to the word, and then we get ourselves to the point where we can look on the needs of others. We can look to serve one another. But again, it starts with keeping your mind set on the word and what God says about how we're to act in the body of Christ. So, you know, we're really starting to see here where renewing your mind really is a one-body matter. It's a one-body reality. You do it individually, but it really, our ability to serve in the one body hinges on us renewing our mind. And then we see, of course, you know, Jesus Christ is our example. He's always our example. And, you know, in verse 7, he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. Was Jesus Christ, was his identity with relation to God a servant? Really, no, he was a son. And we're identified with Christ, so we are sons. However, he chose to take on the role of a servant, you know, and we have that same choice to make. You know, we're not servants. You can read in the Old Testament and make the mistake of reading into, you know, us being servants, but really we're sons, but we have the choice to serve. And Jesus Christ had that same choice. He was God's son, but he chose to serve. So it's just a real kind of progression in these first few verses that, you know, think on godly things, don't put yourself before others, and serve. But it all starts with renewing the mind. That's the key. That's the starting point. And then 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I had never noticed this verse before until, you know, a few days ago, but it's pretty cool. You know, like I said earlier, we don't want to be... Well, I guess I should say the adversary uses things to distract us as a way to defeat us. You know, he distracts us to the point where we're so worried or focused on something else that, you know, we're not living to our full potential for God. But when we have our mind renewed and we get into that good cycle of trusting God, and when things come up, we just trust God and we see Him work. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Verse 3 says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort," or that could be translated of all encouragement, "who comforteth us," or encourages us, "in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we are ourselves comforted of God." So, you know, if we can just give things to God and let Him encourage us, you know, let Him take care of things and just take them off our shoulders, it puts us in a situation where we are, our mental resources are freed up to comfort other people that need it. And not just that, but to comfort them in the same way that God comforted us, which is with His Word, or whatever God puts on your heart to comfort people. But if you're all worried about your own thing, you know, you're going to be less likely to look to comfort other people. So, you know, take care of what's on your heart. You know, just give it to God. You know, whatever verses in the Word you need to put in your head to get to the point where you just trust God and believe it and let it go. You know, we need to do that so that our mental resources are freed up to comfort one another. And, you know, again, this makes it abundantly clear that it's just crucial in our walk in the body of Christ that we have our heads right with the Word so we can serve one another. But I just never noticed that before, so that was pretty cool. Romans chapter 14. Romans 14. And we're just going to read verse 19 here. It says, "Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another." That word follow after, or that phrase follow after, it could also be translated pursue. Think about something that you have, you know, a personal interest in, that you really enjoy and you really get into, a hobby or whatever, and you know, you put a lot of effort into, you know, finding, you know, if you're building something or you're doing something, you find the materials you need or whatever, you go on Craigslist, you go to yard sales, but you put a lot of effort into it. You think about, you know, you strategize, like, where can I find, this is really a hard thing to find, where am I going to find it? And, you know, you talk to people, but you put a lot of effort into it. You know, you pursue it. Well, that's what this is saying. Let us therefore pursue after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. When you pursue something, it takes a lot of your thoughts. You know, it's something that you really have to think about, and you really have to, you know, be on the lookout for. You know, how can I bless and edify, you know, somebody, or, you know, what needs do they have that I can help with, or, you know, what's happening here that's stealing from us, you know, spiritually, or stealing from the body of Christ, and how can I help alleviate that situation? How can I speak the Word to help that situation, or, you know, can I pray for that situation so that there is peace in the body of Christ? You know, we want to be unified. We want to be of like-minded, of one mind. So, you know, that's something where, you know, we're being encouraged here to pursue after it. And to pursue just implies it's a decent amount of effort, and a lot of that's just mental effort, just, you know, going to God in prayer and saying, God, you know, what can I do to edify somebody, or what can I do to help, you know, turn this into a godly situation from not such a godly situation so that there's peace. And fill in the blank. But, you know, we're to pursue after it. You know, it takes some effort, but a lot of that effort's just mental effort sometimes. And then let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5. First Peter 5. And we'll start in verse 5. It says, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care on him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. You know, we're to be subject one to another. You know, especially when somebody's speaking the word to you. You know, if they're speaking the word to you, they're walking with God, and you need to hear it, then, you know, we should submit ourselves to that. Because, you know, they're speaking God's word. And then it says we can be clothed with humility. And, you know, being humble, again, being humble is really, it's manifested in our actions, but it's something that starts in your mind. You know, being humble one toward another is a renewed mind issue. You know, we're doing good, and we're blessing people, and we're serving, and we're like, yeah, we're doing good. And then you start building an ego, and then it's like, oh, wait a minute. You know, take a step back, renew your mind, and be humble again. It's easy to go down that wrong road, but, you know, we need to be humble one toward another if the body of Christ is to operate the way God would have it to. Again, you know, just another aspect of the renewed mind being a one-body reality. And then it says, verse 6, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. You know, we don't need to promote ourselves. We got some pretty cool things coming at the gathering. I don't think whatever we can pull off ourselves is going to look pretty sad compared to, you know, crowns and rewards at the Bema, and, you know, so just let God do it. You know, God's your best promoter. He's your good marketing agent. You don't need to advertise yourself. Just walk with him. And, you know, verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. We don't want to give the adversary those footholds, those handholds in the body of Christ. You know, and that's why it says that right after this. You know, we don't want to get proud and ego, you know, ego-driven and things like that, because that's when the adversary gets in there. We don't want to let him in, you know. So keep things in perspective and let God give you the glory, and we'll be blessed, and it'll be better than we could do ourselves anyway. But we want to keep the adversary out of the body of Christ, and it takes an active effort. That's something else we have to pursue, is keeping things godly. And one other thing I realized as I was looking at this is, we can flip to 1 Timothy chapter 5. You know, God gives a couple little things regarding, you know, leadership, and how we are to think of leaders in the body of Christ. I thought it was worth noting. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. And it says, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. You know, so we have leaders that really work the word and just, they put their heart and soul into making sure that, you know, the body of Christ keeps moving and keeps growing in the word, and that, you know, things move smoothly, and they really just, you know, we all know people that, you know, they're the example of the living sacrifice, where they put their whole heart into, you know, helping the body of Christ just keep moving with God. And it says here that they're worthy of double honor. You know, God says that they, you know, they merit, they especially merit our respect. And that's something that we certainly need to keep in mind. On the other hand, let's look at 1 Corinthians. We'll start 1 Corinthians chapter 3. So Paul talking to the Corinthians. And verse 3, it says, For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? You know, they're having some problems in Corinth. And, you know, we sometimes see the same problems today. But verse 4, it says, "For while one saith, I am of Paul, another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul and who then is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry, you are God's building." You know, it can be an easy trap to fall into where it becomes more about the person whose fellowship you go to, or the person you affiliate with, and more than, you know, the fact that it's God's word, and whoever's teaching God's word, that's who I'm going to stand with. And that's what happened in Corinth here. That's exactly what's being addressed. So, you know, we should certainly give leaders that double honor that God says we should. You know, we pray for them and we look for ways to take care of them, and just we thank God for their service, and we thank God that they speak the word to us when we need it. But that can't trump that we're all part of the same body of Christ, and that one man who's teaching God's word rightly divided is just as good a leader as the other man who's teaching God's word rightly divided. And you know, we don't want to get caught up in that. That's really it. We don't want to create divisions based on this. You know, so we owe that respect and that double honor to the leadership. But you know, our identity is in Jesus Christ. Our identity isn't in whoever's fellowship we go to, or what teaching series we listen to, and who did the teaching series, or whatever. It's what are we like-minded on? We're like-minded on God's word, and we're not like-minded on men, or we don't define ourselves by the men that we stand with. We certainly seek to stand with people that accurately teach God's word, and that's their focus, but that's about as far as it should go. So just something I thought was worth noting. But we have to keep our minds on the word. So that's how we should think. That's how we are to think about leadership, is that it's great that we have men that help us stand. So let's see here. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. We'll go back to Ephesians here. Last couple verses. A lot to think about. And that can be the problem sometimes. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. It says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called, with all lowliness and meekness." Again, humbleness, lowliness, meekness, those are mental things. "With long suffering, forbearing or upholding one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit, the bond of peace. There's one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." One. That's the prevailing word here. And this is the stuff that we are to renew our mind to. This is some of the big stuff, and we're to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Right. We really have to fight for the one body of Christ. The adversary loves to get in there and put a wedge in there. And we can't let him. We can't let him. And it all starts with keeping your head right on the things he says about the body of Christ and what he says about, how we see one another and how we serve one another. It's important. Renewing of the mind is definitely a one body issue, one body matter. And the way you renew your mind or not, affects the body of Christ. And we see that where, that's how God set the body of Christ, that all of us, everybody's contributing. There's no spectator part of the body of Christ. It's important that we really are mindful of what we put in our heads, and we're really mindful of how we think of one another, and that when we find ourselves just kind of thinking like this person fill in the blank, that we really say, no, like, that's not what the word says about them. And, you know, personalities clash sometimes, but that's not what's important. You know, you're like-minded on the word, and that's what's important. And then let's close in Colossians chapter 3. And Colossians 3, we'll look at verse 10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness, meekness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And we kind of touched on that last week, that, you know, forgiving is one of the biggest ways you can give, you know. But verse 14, and above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And charity, you know, again, that's the love of God. And for bond of perfectness, Walter translated it, uniting bond of maturity. So, above all things, put on the love of God, which is the uniting bond of maturity. And, man, I don't know if you caught it in manifestations earlier. God talked about love a little bit. That's the bottom line. You know, if you wanna walk in love, you're gonna do what it takes to walk in love, and that takes, you know, controlling your mind and renewing your mind to God's word. And if you're walking in love, it kind of covers everything. You know, it says that the law is kind of summed up in one commandment. You know, love thy neighbor as thyself. And, you know, walking in love is the key. But, you know, if we're seeking to walk in love, we're going to seek to, you know, think loving things of one another, think the word of one another. And verse 15, and let the peace of God, which really should be translated Christ, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. We should be thankful for one another. I'm certainly thankful for having a body of Christ to be a part of. You know, we all go through stuff where we really need people to encourage us. And thank God that person was walking with God and trusting God so that they were ready to encourage you. You know, it God's got it all covered. If we just follow the instruction booklet, it'll work smoothly. You know, you got a computer or something like that. You can't play solitaire on the computer unless you put solitaire in the on the hard drive, right? You can't believe God's word unless you put it in your head. So it's pretty simple. It's not complicated, but it's something that we need to do in the body of Christ. So that's what I wanted to look at. So Heavenly Father, we're certainly thankful for this body of Christ. We're thankful that you've so clearly explained what we're supposed to do, God. And I just pray that we have the humility to do it, to put your word on in our mind, and just think godly things one another so that we can serve one another and just bless people and be an example so that when we speak the word to somebody, they can just see your love in our actions and our the way we conduct our lives, and that we can be a witness for you, so that we get more people to walk with and stand with. So I pray for this and a wonderful week ahead. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.